I don't know. I don't know whether this is interesting or not.
Nah, we'll be the judge. We'll be the judge.
As you know, been, you know, swimming in winter, you know, oof. Legend that I am.
I went for a swim in winter, yeah, down the beach. Gee, it was nice.
And you always feel better, don't you?
I did one without the wetsuit, one with the wetsuit.
Oof. And the one without, did you stay in long?
Not that long. Oh, a bit, but the sun was shining. It was nice, but then I went back the next day and just went, oh, no, I can't do it.
See, I have a rule that if you go in, you got to dive under 3 times. I think I told you that.
No, I haven't heard that rule.
Yeah, you got to dive under 3 times to make it worthwhile. And then you can get out. Yeah, you got to go 3 times. As in,
sometimes I dive under there and then I get pulled along and I'm just... People on the beach must think I'm drowning because I scramble to the surface. You know what I mean? Like, awful.
Like a wet dog.
Yeah.
Anyway, so down the beach, getting changed in the car park, and this couple turns up. I thought, oh, they must be taking their dog for a walk. And then I look, and they walk past me. They've got their cat.
Wow.
They're taking their cat for a walk on the beach on a leash.
That's incredible.
Who's that?
A cat.
A cat?
Yeah, Hughie used to take his cat down the beach. He used to do a routine about it.
Oh, there you go. It's not that interesting.
Down the beach.
People, but I don't.
Not often.
I don't sort of get it. It's because with the dog, you throw a stick in the water and the dog goes out in the water and comes back. And what do you do with a cat? What do you do?
The cat's on the leash.
Well, they carried it for a while and then I think they had a leash and they put it down and it didn't. It just stood there.
I think Hughie's routine is that he looked at his wife and said, we need a baby because it sounds like these people are treating that cat like a toddler.
I think you're right. Yep.
Also, what is a cat's sort of like to stay in their own world? They're not like dogs.
No.
That cat would be freaking out.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty cool cat. But it didn't look like... Then I worked it out. It's a giant kitty litter.
Oh, he's going down to crap on the beach.
Yeah. I mean, so maybe he, in a way, feels at home. But yeah. Beyond that, I thought I was only going to take a photograph, but I thought that's a bit rude. I thought, what? Sort of you go for a bit of a walk, put the cat down. With a dog, they'll run, they'll chase other dogs.
They'll go in the water?
So...
How old was this couple?
Oh, they would be early 20s.
I reckon it's a...
So when they have a baby, cat...
Cat's gone. Yeah, cat's gone. Don't worry about the cat. Yeah, because Hughie also does, in the same routine, talks about when he was on Australia's Got Talent or one of those shows, and a guy came in with his cat, and the cat, on stage with the cat, And the cat's meant to jump through hoops or something, but the cat just sat there.
He
goes, his dreams aren't your dreams. But he does a whole thing about, they used to take their cat to the beach occasionally, but then they had kids, so.
But if there were people, I mean, you will go to the beach when there are people around and a dog, but to be on a beach where there are people around and you got a cat, you're going to get looks.
I've never seen that. It's slightly attention-seeking, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and it was a big fluffy one. It wasn't like your normal one. It was like one of those special ones that they tease up and do at the Royal Melbourne Show and stuff. And
tell you what, though, Dunkirk would have been different if there was cat poo on the beach. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, go slow, stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't step in that.
So anyway, they came back to the car park and I was still getting changed and unfortunately the cat saw
your thing. We've talked about this last time and it was in the wild.
But you survived. Anyway, I always reckon
we've got leads for our cats, right? So we've got these two kittens and we haven't used these leads yet.
This is a leash.
It's a leash, yeah. A leash.
So you've actually bought one to take
it. Kieran's bought two of them.
So you're going to be freak family. You're going to be freak family.
I'm not putting him on the lead. She goes, they haven't even been outside yet, these cats. Because according to all the cat books, 6 months is when you can let them into the backyard. And so I said, yeah, I'll just watch them. She goes, you're going to put them on the lead? I'm like, I'm not putting him on a lead.
No.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, the cats.
Put a cat on a lead.
It just doesn't make sense. I mean, the dogs sort of... Because cats don't walk with you. They don't...
No.
Our Burmese tortoise, he used to follow me down the street sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But not really.
He'd hide in houses.
But not really.
Tell you what, though, cat on the beach, but cat on a surfboard. Now we're talking.
So you think that'd be good?
I've seen a cat on a surfboard on a show or something, you know. Yeah.
As in, like... Because you see a lot of dogs on skateboards, on surfboards. So you think...
A cat on a surfboard, that's a whole new thing. Maybe they're building up to that. Maybe they're getting the cat used to the beach.
Maybe it's a good name for a coffee shop.
Cat on a surfboard?
Yeah.
Maybe the cat just starts off boogie boarding like me, and then eventually it moves up to the...
Or skiffle board. You know what a skiffle board is?
Yes.
Yeah, put the cat on the... Throw the skiffle board down. Throw the cat on it, and then just go, look, you're meant to be... You've got nine lives.
I think a general rule, skiffle boards can only be used by someone under 35, don't you reckon?
The best way to break a wrist or an ankle
looks,
or... Yeah.
Looks,
Yeah.
It's like a frisbee you chuck on the ground and then you stand on it, don't you?
Yeah. And now they do it where they throw it into the shallows and they actually go out onto the waves and then ride the wave back in again.
Well, I mean, that's awesome, but nah, I couldn't do it at my age.
Yeah, anyway.
I couldn't do it at my age. I tell you though, when I was boogie boarding the other day, I was looking at some women around my age surfing and they were obviously new to it. I thought maybe I could do that.
I could have you up surfing.
Yeah, but is it hard to go from lying down to standing up? That's my whole thing. Because I find it hard on just the normal ground, standing up from lying down. How am I going to go on a surfboard?
It's a pop.
Yeah, I think
and you've got to get it down to two moves. Now when you get off the floor normally, you go like up onto your knees and then you go up and then you push
knee,
up.
One
and
leg,
then
push.
You've got to go into an arch position, right? That's position number one because you've just caught the wave. You push up. You'll see the
process. I see him do it. Yeah.
And then you've got to swing your legs underneath.
Oh Jesus!
Swing your legs underneath. Do you want me to do it for you now? Watch. I'll do it here.
Yeah, go and do it for me. Okay, I'll describe it. Glenn's getting down on the carpet at the pub.
Okay.
He's pretending he's surfing.
Now I'm surfing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Push up.
That's move one.
And there's move one.
Ah, you bring him up underneath. See, I couldn't do that.
Well, yeah.
Oh, boy.
But something for you to practice at home.
Yeah.
Do it on the bed.
Maybe I'll boogie board. Maybe I'll stick to boogie boarding.
Maybe just take the cat.
Take the cat down the beach.
On a leash. That's why they were doing it. Anyway.
All right, here comes the music.
Welcome to Somehow Related Now. Please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Well, here we are, somehow related.
In a pub.
In the pub studio.
Your pub, where you worked. You did wonderful shows. You did the Grand View last night.
Not always that wonderful, but they're a good night out. Starts at 8, finishes by 10. Always good.
Yeah, it's good because your demographic here is kind of... They
middle
want to be
aged.
Yeah,
middle
yeah,
aged. Yeah. Sometimes people bring their kids or teenagers.
A bit of lovely counter meal, bit of entertainment.
Counter meal, bit of pepper pot.
Yeah, is there language? What's the language?
Yeah. Look, I tell the young guys, don't say the C word. I want to hear it.
Oh, yeah, that's fair enough.
F fuck's all right, but, you know, don't fucking say that. Oh, this fucking... You know,
because it's a threshold, you don't want to cross it, and that's fair enough, you know.
You know, you got people from Ivanhoe and posh suburbs around here. Yeah, that's a posh suburb.
Yeah,
know.
I mean,
I'll be sitting there eating their schnitzel and I'll hear some young bloke go, say this fucking... What?
See, we wouldn't say that word on this podcast.
No, we haven't said it. And you know what?
We've never said it, I don't think.
Look, but the young guys do throw it around a lot. They throw it around like just saying, how
are
you going?
How you going? Yeah, it's a bit of a...
Cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
It's cool. Yeah. It's cool. Like, I'm rebellious. I'm crossing the line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway... That's a good night. Well, let's get our topics. We just got to get two topics and we're going to how they are related. Go, Sam.
Portsea in the start of World War One.
What? That's, you know, she's getting more obscure. Maybe she's running out of things, but we've got to explain what Portsea... Everyone knows what World War One is.
Yes.
But Portsea is a resort beach town.
Beach town, right on Point Nepean.
Right on the... If you think of Port Phillip Bay, it's right on the tip, on the bottom, kind of.
And it has two sides. It has the bay side.
And then Western Port.
And it has the beach side.
And then Western Port on the other side, where Gunnamatta is and all that. That's the edge of Western Port Bay as well, isn't it?
That's right, yes.
Yeah. So for people around the world, Portsea is known... And there's places similar. I know when I've been to Europe with my brother, there's similar places where posh people go to holiday.
The Hamptons. It's like the Hamptons.
Like the Hamptons. Yeah.
It's probably about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But what's happened here is that they're putting a new freeway in.
It's close.
So it's really easy for people who are, let's just say, not Portsea people to go there to the beach. There's a freeway that goes straight there now, whereas before it was kind of like going around the coast or whatever. But now it's like bang, on the freeway there, and it pops out.
An hour. You get there.
An hour.
Portsea.
Yeah.
I wonder what the Sydney equivalent of Portsea is. There must be the northern beaches up there somewhere. Even though it is a holiday destination, it's not a suburb. It's a holiday place, really, Port City.
Yeah,
isn't
is it Watson's Bay or Vaucluse
somewhere posh.
Like you say, it's where you have your beach house, right?
Yeah, and I just remember when I went to uni, you'd occasionally meet girls that were from Brighton, the well-to-do place, and they'd say, "No, we're going down." I went down. I stayed at a beach house in Portsea with some of them.
Yeah.
Oh, we go to Portsea on the weekend.
Oh, the beach, and it's beautiful. The beaches are beautiful on both sides.
But the Portsea beach got eroded.
What, recently?
Yeah.
Oh, but that's, you know, that's your global warming right there. I mean, over on the West Coast too, they're getting done. That's where Harold Holt.
That's the former Prime Minister disappeared off Portsea Beach.
He went skin diving by himself, didn't he?
Skin diving?
Was it scuba diving?
It wasn't scuba diving. Oh. It was just a dip, wasn't it? Or was he scuba diving?
Oh, that's interesting.
Was he scuba diving? Harold Holt.
Okay.
I don't know. Or was he skin diving? Should we ask Sam?
What's the difference between skin diving and scuba diving?
Well, hang on. Skin diving. Isn't skin diving in the nude? Skinny dipping?
Skinny dipping.
Oh, okay. Skin diving is scuba diving, is it? I don't know.
Scuba diving is scuba gear.
Did he have scuba gear, Harold Holt?
On the 17th of December 1967, Harold Holt, the Prime Minister of Australia, disappeared while swimming in the sea near Portsea, Victoria. An enormous search operation was mounted in and around Cheviot Beach, but his body was never recovered. The Prime Minister wasn't wearing a scuba suit. He was just in for a casual dip.
My apologies.
No scuba gear. He just disappeared from
But
you.
Then again, if you... Well, yeah, but he...
Just sounds like it was spontaneous.
He drowned, and what was it? But he was never found.
It's incredible. He's like you. He just loves the beach, it sounds like. Just loves the beach.
Well, maybe...
Imagine if you disappeared. Imagine. I'll be here by myself doing this podcast going...
Okay,
thanks
good.
For all the messages. Thanks for all the memorial service is planned. We're going to have a special summer-related section.
Yeah, well, those people would get in. Like, they'd get priority, wouldn't they?
There's talk of the MCG, but we're thinking Etihad now.
Wow. And everyone would make a bit of a speech. Would there be like an Uncle Arthur section?
Arthur? And we're going to do a summer-related Glenn Robbins and... sea disappearances or something, you know. Like,
and who would you reckon someone to take over from? Would you reckon the geeks, who would you get to do my role in somehow related?
Probably Sam Pang, but he's pretty busy.
He'd be good.
He's pretty busy though,
he's
isn't
very
he?
Very good.
You know, he'd probably ask for money too.
But then again, I don't think he would care about the topics as much as we do.
I'd have to stop it. If one of us dies, we just have to stop it and just, you know. And then people on the street go, "You used to love your podcast," and you go, "Yeah, but you know."
No, you know what I do if you went?
Glenn died.
It's like when, like...
I'm going to get a hologram like ABBA in London. You know, they got that hologram where you go watch ABBA perform?
Like The Simpsons, when one of them couldn't do the role anymore.
Yeah.
They just got another person to do it. I'd get a Dave O'Neill impersonator.
Apparently Eric Banner can do me, but...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He can do everyone.
Again, he's busy, though, in Hollywood, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, but it's somehow related. There's a lot of loyal fans out there who would be very disappointed.
Anyway.
Or if we both went, maybe we'd get...
A kid. My kid.
Get your kids.
I got one of my kids.
Do a junior version of
it. You can get your nephew. I saw your nephew at the cake shop. Paddy?
Yeah.
Paddy?
Yeah.
He looks a bit like you.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so just get him and get my son Jasper sorted.
And they do like the and it'd have the new somehow related.
The new somehow related.
As opposed to
when Sooty and Sweet. Remember Sooty and Sweet?
No.
The puppets. Sooty and Sweep.
Snooty?
Sooty and Sweep. The two puppets. And they were British. And there was an old guy who used to do the puppets.
Yeah.
They were a big kids show in England. And then his son took over. And then another guy took over from him. So
you reckon we could have this going for a long
franchise.
Time?
Franchise. Like the Wiggles.
We should do like a Japanese one.
Yeah.
We could do an Indian one. We could do this is brilliant.
We can get Emma Wiggle to do it, you know.
The one who left.
Yeah. Get her to do it.
Jeez, good meeting. Lucky there's a whiteboard. I've written all that down on the whiteboard.
Write that down.
Portsea.
Yeah, I stayed at Portsea once with Kathy and Sana, these girls. It was good fun.
Let me, Kathy. Kathy, what was she like? A blonde bob?
Blonde, yes. You've nailed it.
And what was the other one?
Sana. Sana had the best name. Hello, if you're listening. Sana Conquest. I remember in the first day of uni, we were doing all public relations, which is a very Portsea course to do. I'm doing public relations at university. PR. Working PR, Glenn. you know, PR people tend to be blonde and especially back in the old days.
Yes, especially.
And Sana Conquest, we had to do the role, and this guy Pete turned around and went, "Is that your real name?" She's like, "Yeah, Sana Conquest. What a great name!
That is a fantastic name."
Anyway, so went down there, stayed in Portsea. We had a great time because I knew everyone down there.
So you get things you would have done. Did you go to the pub?
Yes.
Did you go for a swim?
Yes.
Did you go like what?
That was it.
You went. Were you wearing boat shoes?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did you tie your jumper around your shoulders?
Yes.
Were definitely. You wearing like a pastel-y colour? Did you have
wish? Yes.
Shorts? Were you? Was it summertime?
Yeah, it was summer.
Yeah,
shorts.
And were, did you meet people who had nicknames?
Oh they, yeah,
like, Toffee and Boffy.
Yeah, but, yeah. Giles and you know, and they all seem to have gone to the same five schools.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, like you, I went to a high school, so
yeah,
I was a bit of rough. What do they call it? A bit of rough trade.
Yeah, you're a bit of rough trade. Come in there, show them how it's really done.
Excuse me, can you get me a drink? No, I'm not working here. What? But it's funny because it is a very posh part of Victoria. And then there's Sorrento, which is also posh next
door. Right next door, yeah.
But then
you
go down the hill and there's Rye and Rosebud, which is very working class.
Well, that's very true, actually.
And Rye's very Italian. And Rosebud used to be... I mean, we always used to do jokes about who's staying in a caravan of Rosebud this
year. True. They're well observed.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very people have they camp along the foreshore there.
Mm.
And there's always articles in the paper how they've three generations of the Dawson family have camped on Rosebud foreshore.
Well, I always maintain you've got your bloke in the caravan right on the water, then you up and he's got the best view in town, and then behind him there's a $8 million house up on the hill. And he just has to step across the beach and he's in the water, the caravan, and the bloke has I mean, they're both as happy as each other.
Yeah, but the bloke in the caravan has to walk to the toilet block when he has to go to the toilet.
Yeah, but you know, you're part of a community and you go down there, Gay Terry, Gay Keith.
I've got a joke. I'll do it at the end. I've got a joke about this whole situation.
I'll remind you. You got a joke at the end.
I'll try and remember.
Now, Portsea is the Rip, isn't it?
What?
The Rip.
Oh, that's Harold Holt. It's a dangerous rip in Portsea.
And that is because the tide goes in and it's a fairly narrow opening.
What's that island? There's Mud Island, isn't there, off Portsea?
That's around there as well.
One of my friends went to Mud Island once. You can get off and walk on it. I'd love to go to Mud Island.
There's a day out. Yeah. It's very big.
No. Have you been in a boat?
Not a great name, by the way.
Mud Island.
I mean, take a bit more time. Give it some, you know.
Have you been in a boat in that bay?
I've been, I tell that story when... Because there's one of the best waves in the world there, when the conditions are right and the tide is right, there's a wave that wraps around the point in the pen. It's called Corsair, and it's one of the best left handers in the world.
Are you speaking English? What are you talking about?
But you can only get there by boat because that land there is not accessible, is it? You can't drive your car there.
No,
and people will come. From miles around on a boat, and then, and they'll come
and
from
surf.
The other side and surf, yeah.
But
yeah.
You have to get on a boat to get that wave.
Yes.
Wow. And you've done that.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. And then, as the story goes, Rob Sitch took me from Portsea, from Sorrento.
But he's on a surfer.
But we said, why did I? I don't know how it came about that we did that. I must have been down there with my surfboard. He's got a boat, and we went out there. And I surfed it, and as I arrived, the guys go, "You've just missed it." So I went in anyway. It's very fast breaking, it breaks under a fairly harsh, point sandbank, and it's a very very fast wave. Anyway, so
I've been out there in a boat in the 80s when I worked at the Red Cross. One of the old guys was part of the volunteer Coast Guard or something.
Yeah,
and he took me out. It was beautiful, Port Phillip Bay.
Oh yeah, from there it is.
Oh
yeah, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But the water can get pretty choppy going through that rip there.
The heads.
Yeah, don't people swim across there to Queenscliff? Do that swim?
Do they? That'd be dangerous. There's a ferry. I know there's a ferry that goes across.
Ferry?
It's a ferry.
Sounds like you're talking about the
magic
wings.
Ferry.
It's a ferry, not a fairy.
A ferry. Des Dowling caught the other day. He had a gig. He's got a house in Ocean Grove, and then he got the ferry from Queenscliff to Portsea.
Yeah.
Someone picked him up. He went and did a gig in Sorrento, and then he said it was great.
Fantastic.
40 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you can put your car on there.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah, I've done that because we have a place down the other coast, the West Coast. Your West Coast is a little bit, not so much now, but was a bit more blue-collar originally. And that, your Portsea was your
posh.
Posh. Anyway, I want to finish that story. Rob took me out, and then he took me back to the jetty at Portsea. And as I'm coming up, there's three or four girls sunbaking on the jetty. And I want to sort of step off with my surfboard as he pulls in.
Cool, cool.
Yeah, too cool for school. And as I step off the boat onto the jetty, because I've got a life jacket on, but it's one of those ones that you have to pull to inflate.
Oh, yeah.
And as I step, I accidentally pull my...
Oh, no. Cord.
And the girls are there, and they just hear... And the whole thing just inflates around my head, and I go from hero to zero. I mean, looking like a cool guy that's just been out at Corsair to some dickhead who didn't know how to bloody, you know, get off a boat.
Creepy old guy.
Creepy
over
old
there.
Guy. Yeah. But anyway,
his floaties on.
Yeah, little floaties on. Yeah, absolutely.
Potsy. Well, it's interesting, Potsy, and they do. I know it's a cliche, but they do speak like that.
They do like that. Atari, yes.
Oh,
well, you know, there's the Millionaire's Walk there. They don't like you to know about it.
What's that?
Well, that's where, because it's Crown. Hang on, but Crown Land? Yeah, it'd be Crown Land. You got all the properties along the cliff.
Yeah.
Then you've got this little gate that goes through, and you can walk along the top of the cliff, which is right, almost in the front yard of these
Lindsay Fox and all those guys.
All those houses. They don't like you to know about it, but you walk along, and you don't. You go for the view, but you can't help but realise that you're right on.
Oh, I'd love to do that.
Yeah, so you're looking right into these properties on the left, and then on the right you've got this magnificent view, you know, over Port Phillip Bay.
Got to get the stubbies and shorts.
Yeah.
And the esky.
Hey, mate. There you go.
Lindsay,
there you
go, mate.
Yeah, what's happening?
Because he tried to claim the beach, didn't he, Lindsay Fox? He had whole thing about buying the...
He pushed it out there, didn't he?
Oh, God.
Yeah. And then there's the artist trail.
What's the artist trail?
I think there's a trail down there where you can go and... Well, you know...
Portsea.
Yeah, there's an artist trail. Who were the artists like Streeton and Boyd?
Oh, the Heidelberg School.
Yes.
The Heidelberg School.
So I think you can go to the places where they painted them paintings.
Wow.
So you can stand in the actual spot and go, this was painted right here.
We did go once to the old quarantine centre down there.
Yeah, that's
You've
right.
You've been there?
Yeah.
Which is now a function
centre. Oh, is it? Yeah, right.
But we went there. No, it was sort of a museum because it was so remote. They used to be our quarantine place.
Yeah,
it was really interesting.
So that would have been people coming into Victoria who may have had something.
Yeah, and they quarantined for a month there or something. And there's a similar one in Manly in Sydney because I've done a gig there in this really remote bit of Manly. It's bizarre. Like right up on a hill in Manly.
And the buildings are still there, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's been talk for a long time about doing something there, hasn't there?
About doing resorts and stuff like that. Yeah.
And the government won't... Because of the land allocation or something, or the, you know.
It's quite beautiful though, down there.
Well,
I think we've covered off Potsy.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
So.
Definitely.
If you've got Harold Holt and you've got, you know, surf spot.
Posh people.
Yeah. Portsy. All right.
I started World War One. Now, okay, I did World War One in year 11, modern history.
Well, this should be a snack for you.
Yeah, but World War One, the cause, one of the questions was, what were the causes of World War One? Wasn't it Archduke Ferdinand?
Someone got shot.
Yeah, Archduke Ferdinand.
From
Austria.
Yes.
By a Serbian dissident.
Oh, there you go.
A Serbian dissident. And that triggered... Because, you know, World War II, it's kind of... The reason it started was Hitler invaded.
Yeah, I'm going to take over the world.
He's a crazy man.
Yeah.
But World War One was a bit more complicated. And there was this whole economic... There was an economic build-up. There was an arms build-up. I can still remember my study notes where I had all the 10 causes of World War One, but... I can't think of what it had to do with Portsea. But Archduke Ferdinand, he was shot, wasn't he, in a motorcade or something? Yeah. But
was it? Okay, let's... 1914, wasn't it?
1914 and 1918 was the war.
There was the Allies and the Central Powers, is that right?
Yes. And Russia were on German side in that war, I think. Yeah.
You had your Germans, your Austrians, your Bulgarians, and then, of course, we had the Gallipoli.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was... Why did Gallipoli happen?
I don't... Gallipoli is in Turkey.
And they threw us there to...
The British just used the Australian troops, didn't they?
as
Churchill.
As fodder.
Yeah, Churchill was in charge, wasn't he? Churchill had something to do with it, definitely.
It goes back to, yeah.
Sounds horrific.
Yeah.
Sounds horrific. Running up the beach.
And
it's a good movie, though, Gallipoli.
Great movie. Thompson. What's his name? Who's this famous Australian actor? Oh, no.
Jack Thompson.
No.
Steve Bisley.
Mad Max.
Oh, Mel Gibson.
Oh, thank God.
Is he in Gallipoli? Is he? I don't know. I can't remember.
Was he?
Sam, help us. Who was in Gallipoli? There's also that other famous actor who then went on to do, like, he used to do a cabaret act where he'd imitate, was it Dean Martin or someone? The main guy?
That was Man from Snowy River guy.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, we're having a massive noble moment. Who was in Gallipoli, Sam?
Mel Gibson and Mark Lee.
Yeah, it was Mel Gibson in Gallipoli. That's right.
And what was the famous line? What are your legs?
Oh, yeah, steel.
Springs?
Springs, yeah.
And how are you going to run? Like a...
like a gazelle or a deer or something?
Or a cheetah or
something like that. We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. But, you know, I was thinking of Tom Burleson.
Tom Burleson.
He was in The Man from Snowy River. He wasn't in Gallipoli.
And he still does an incredible Frank Sinatra impression.
That's what he does. See, I'm getting him mixed up with the other guy.
Who are you mixing up with?
Mark Lee, I think.
Mark Lee. That was kind of like the one film that he did that was highly successful.
Yeah.
And what happened to him?
He's drinking at the bar at the Grandview.
what? And the ending was the signing of armistice.
Yeah. Oh, World War One.
Yes.
Armistice Day. Yeah. Yeah. 11th of the 11th.
11th of the 11th. That's right. Which we still respectfully have a minute's silence.
But you know the some of the arsehole British generals kept their troops fighting up until the hour. Up until 11 a.m. or whatever it was. So there were several people killed that didn't really have to be killed because of the British generals, you know, just mean.
How does a war start? Imagine there's Dave O'Neill world land and there's Glenn Robbins land.
Yeah.
Okay? Hey, Dave, I don't like you, what you're doing with your borders. Do I ring you up? Do I send...
You make a declaration of war.
To who?
Well, I think you just announce to it, them, don't you? And send it to them, I think.
You go, right, so you just, it's a thing you sign. I'm going to attack you at a certain time.
Yeah.
Like from 12 o'clock tomorrow.
I think it used to be like that back in the day.
Whereas with Ukraine, they've just gone, we're coming in. There was no declaration of war.
And it's like, and Putin goes, it's not really a war, we're just getting back territory. It's not a war, it's a military exercise or some. They use some sort of jargon.
So back in the day, it was respectful.
And
then when it was over, they were also signed something.
Yeah, exactly.
So which is a good thing. But I find it interesting because there must be like a time thing on it then.
Yes.
It must be like, you know, depending on what part of the world you're in is when you would start it. And, we're on daylight saving time. So you've gone an hour early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was gentlemen. And, you know, they would play cricket and stuff when they'd have a break. And
yeah.
Like when they'd have Christmas and stuff. But these days, not like that.
No, that's every man for himself.
I don't think ISIS is playing cricket with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Well, should we have some thinking music?
Do you reckon? Do you think? Okay. No, and that's all right. Okay,
well,
I'm happy.
We've done World War One before, but we haven't done the start of World War One. So I'm intrigued about... what ports he's got to do with the start
of
World
War
One.
We don't normally ask questions at this point, but if the Brits were in the war, when did Britain come into the First World War?
No, they were there from the start,
that mean that we were at war?
Definitely at war. The Commonwealth was at war. Once, especially back then, when they were at war, we were at war. So something obviously happened in Portsea, or had something to do with Portsea in World War One.
Okay. All right. So I need to think about that. That's handy because we've got thinking music.
Thinking music. Okay. Hang on a second. What can we do?
So why could have something. There's a couple of sketches where we've done. Oh, why don't we have the two ladies from Kath and Kim?
Prue and True.
Prue and True.
Yeah, very good.
We could have a bit of that dialogue. I'm just trying to think. Are there other hoity-toity...
hoity-toity
things that we could do.
Why don't we do a make-believe? Because, I mean, Portsea must have been settled by someone posh at some stage. Okay. So we could do the settlement of Portsea.
How it happened.
Yeah, how it happened.
How it really happened.
So I can be a boat captain and you can be the posh person on the boat.
Oh, and am I just going out for a bit of a sail around?
I think we're in a motorboat. Oh, probably a sailboat.
Sailboat. Yeah, creaking. Yeah. And I've got on board to go for a bit of a ride around Port Phillip Bay. And you're showing me around?
I've got a few people on board, but you're the main one talking, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. Here so am I getting on? Where am I getting on?
You're walking on the boat in Melbourne.
On the jet. I come on on the pier, maybe at like Okay.
Here we go.
Hello.
Welcome there, my fair man. Lord Robbins, is it? Is that what I've got written here?
Oh,
Lord Robbins.
I'm all ready for the trip. I read all about it. I'm very excited.
Well, Lord, I'll take you down to the all the way up to the heads, and you can pick a place to settle. How do you feel about that?
I feel delightful about that.
Well, step in.
I'm wearing betches. Are these okay to wear? Because I figure that they'd be good, so give me some grip on the deck.
Actual sailors don't wear boat shoes, mate. Well, that's right. Fine. They'd be fine.
And these beige trousers be all right?
Well, whatever.
Yeah, and I've got this lovely lamb's wool top. Should I put the jump?
Tied around your shoulders.
Tied around my shoulders. Yeah, okay, how's that look?
For a bloke like you.
And I'm wearing these lovely sunglasses.
Oh, they're lovely, aren't they?
The tortoise shell.
Well, I'll take you down the bay. I'll take you down your bay and we'll have a look. And
I'd love to have a bit of a look around and just.
We're just going past St Kilda, the place of prostitutes and rock and roll. You wouldn't like that.
So, no, I don't think I want to.
Ladies of the night.
No.
Popular with me and the boys, the sailors.
All right. So, no, let's get away from all of that.
Okay, you don't like that.
No, let's head south.
Yeah, well, there we go. There's Brighton.
Brighton? Yeah. What sort of people live in Brighton?
Not like you. But you're probably looking for a more remote...
I'm looking for somewhere to go away for the weekend where I can, you know, come what may and a bit of drinking
cliff shot. Cliff tops? Are we looking for cliff tops?
Cliff tops, yes. And
well, here we have Mentone.
Oh.
Is that Mentone?
Oh, no.
A bit boring, Mentone.
What sort of thing goes on in Mentone?
Normal things in Mentone.
I'm seeing some people on the beach. They're waving at us.
Oh, yes.
Oh, dear.
Beau Morris, Mentone. Aspendale. We're near Aspendale now.
Oh, what happens in Aspen?
Not much. Oh, I tell you what, just keep your purse handy. We're going past Frankston.
Oh,
Frankstown.
Oh, I don't like the
settled by Frank.
Oh,
Frank was a massive bogan.
Ah.
Yes, and that's where they are. That's Frankstown.
Is there anyone aboard who'd like to get off at Frankston?
Well, possibly some of the peasants down in the gully. The scummy, whatever it's called.
Right, we'll
anyway,
keep going.
Oh,
I brought some cheese, by the way. Would you like some?
Yeah, I'll be right. The cheese is not good for a seafarer.
And a nice Chardonnay with a little biscuit. I brought some quoits because I thought we might play with our quoits on the deck.
No, this is a serious boat.
Oh, okay.
No time for quoits.
Right.
This is Mount Eliza. You might like this. It's a bit posh.
Oh, that goes up in the... Oh, I get a lovely view up there. Yeah, it's not perfect, though.
Okay, well, we've got... This is Rosebud, where the roses bud.
Right.
And you'll see... It's a bit reminiscent of Frankston, but they all live in caravans here. Have a look at them on the beach.
Yes, I've got my racing binoculars, and I'm looking there, and they are...
There's a lot of fat people.
A lot of fat people.
And we've got Rye, which is more your Italians. So the old Italians... My accent's changing as we go. We got the Italian. Oh, here we go. This is Sorrento. You like this?
That looks marvelous. That looks absolutely...
I think this is a spot for you. We call it Portsea.
Have you heard of tennis and golf? Have you heard... Do you know what that is?
No. Right. Me and the boys play darts. That's all we do. We're a bit of darts at night.
Right.
So this is Portsea. Portsea.
Oh, look at that man there on the beach. He's got his collar popped up.
Yes. Very the common thing in Portsea.
And he's got a... what's that hat? That big white hat that he's...
Wide brim hat. He's of the upper class around here.
Oh,
perhaps
I
of
like
your class.
The look of what... Look at that.
All right. Lord Robbins, do you want me to drop you off here at Portsea? Is this a place for you?
I think get the boat out. I'm going in there. I'm going to fossick around, say hello, take my wine, my cheese... my boat shoes, my jump around my neck.
And you take your golf clubs too.
Take
and your
my
polo
golf clubs,
sticks.
My tennis racket. Yes. Oh dear, it's quite a lot to carry. But I can't thank you enough for such a wonderful adventure and showing me all the beautiful places around Port Phillip Bay.
Well, bye-bye. Bye-bye, Lord Robbins.
Will you come back and pick me up?
Yeah, in a few days. You'll be right.
Right.
Stay at the Portsea Hotel.
Stay at the Portsea Hotel.
Oh, God. Thank God he's gone. What a pain in the bottom. What an absolute pain in the ass. Anyway, who else have we got on this boat? Where do you want to go? What's your name? Daryl. Where do you want to go, Daryl?
Oh, mate. All I care. Where are we going?
I think you might be a little bit Frankston, Daryl.
Dave's feeding me the lines. I want to go to Frankston, mate. Well, yeah, no worries. All mate, I can go to Frankston. You know, get pissed. You know, get in a fight. You know, rob a few cars. You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Excellent, Daryl. I'll take you straight there. I'll do a burnout for you. Here we go.
I've been out of the boat, mate. First, I love it, mate. Yeah.
Hope we haven't upset the people from Frankston. Do you think we're a bit judgmental?
No, Frankston's doing well. My in-laws used to live in Frankston, but they always said it was South Frankston.
Right. Anyway, there you go.
Anyway, there we go. So, do you want to have a crack? It's a hard one.
I reckon what's happened is that the Australians heard that we're at war, and they were the first to fire a shot. Because there's cannons and stuff, but there is some sort of armory there, isn't there? My dad worked at the Ordnance Factory, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, during the 60s. So that I reckon, but their timing was out because it wasn't until 12 o'clock the following day or something like that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon French Duke Ferdinand used to holiday in Portsea. That's a connection.
You
just come
long
back
way to go.
You know, they're rich, these people.
Of course, maybe that's what started it all down there.
From the Putsy, and I just bang. Aha! I was just admiring my tan to everyone. What is the answer, Sam?
The first shot fired by the British Empire in World War I was at Portsea on Victoria's Mornington Peninsula. Less than 4 hours after war was declared, the shot rang out. It was aimed at a German cargo ship desperately trying to leave Australian waters.
Well, I'm nearly right, but I just thought they might have fired a shot, you know, just...
Oh, celebration shot.
Yeah, 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 as opposed... But you're a German boat. You're in Port Phillip Bay. They were getting out of there because they realised that they were...
Yeah, at war.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
What a shitty thing. That's incredible. You go, hang on, we're over here doing the right thing, and all of a sudden you become the enemy. I wonder if that happened. That must happen a fair bit.
That's incredible. Oh, yeah, if you've got, like, foreign forces in another land, they'll get arrested or, you know, incarcerated.
They'll get arrested first, because you can't get out.
No. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh, amazing. Now, hang on. Did you not have a joke?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. I used to talk about when I went to Vietnam, over there they think if you're fat, you must be rich.
Yep.
Because fat equals wealth. And I say, well, you've obviously never been to a caravan park. Like, look at all those millionaires walking to the toilet block with a towel around their waist. That guy must be loaded. And we're out. Yes.